I think most of you understand that a brown bag meal means you bring what you want to eat. If you want something to drink, you bring it. Wednesday night at 6, we'll do that. Some of you have been talking about wanting to do that again. I enjoy getting together, and basically the idea is we just get together for a little while. Each one, if you want to bring a sandwich from home, go buy McDonald's, go buy a Subway, get you a pizza, whatever. Bring whatever you want, and we'll sit there and eat and talk for a little while on Wednesday night beginning at 6. I am 100% convinced that it is necessary to be buried in baptism for the remission of sins in order to be saved from our sins. I believe the Bible teaches that. I don't believe there's any exception to it. And I believe we need to be reminded of that. Most of us that are here tonight have already been baptized, but we need to be reminded of it. And we also need to think about ways that we can talk to other people and convince them of what the Bible has to say. Sometimes there are some very simple approaches that can be taken that are very profound. We've been studying now for 10 lessons, including this one, senseless but profound. Person comes to me and says, I know that I'm a sinner. What do I need to do? I would ask him, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe in the importance of living a good life, trying to do what's right, being sorry for those things that are wrong? Yes. Then I would say to him, God wants you to be baptized for the remission of sin so that you could be a Christian and be added to the New Testament church. And he says, I don't see any sense in that. I don't see any sense in being put underwater and being brought back up. I don't believe that there's any power in the water to take care of our sins, and I just don't believe that you have to be baptized to be saved. Even the majority of people today in religion who practice baptism do not teach that it is necessary for salvation. Many times a person will be asked before being baptized, do you believe that God for Christ's sake has pardoned your sins? The experience that I've had with different people, talking to people, and trying to understand what is taught by so many people convinces me that the majority of religious groups in our area, at least, teach that you're already saved before you're baptized, that it's good to be baptized, but that you are doing that just to show that you're already saved. And some of them will even teach the idea that all you've got to do to be saved is to pray the sinner's prayer. I want us to study a lesson tonight that I firmly believe is the best approach that I'm able to take, at least, in talking to a person about this subject. And the lesson is from a part of the Bible where baptism has never been mentioned, from the Old Testament. Baptism is not mentioned in the Old Testament. In fact, I don't think you'll find baptism mentioned until you get to John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ. It's not an Old Testament subject. And yet I want us to go to the Old Testament and study. I have mentioned this passage more than once in other sermons, but I've never preached an entire sermon on it. I don't normally like to read an entire chapter, but I do want to tonight. If you have your Bible, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. Now I want you to think in terms of baptism as we read this chapter. But Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He had a problem. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought many captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said unto her mistress, would God my lord, that's Naaman she's referring to, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. He could cure him. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. Notice, not the prophet, but the king. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou, that's the king, mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh quarrel against me. He said he must be trying to trick me some way, because he knows I can't cure anybody of their leprosy. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, that's the prophet, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Can you think of anything that's any more foolish to Naaman, or sounds any more foolish than that? Went to the man of God, the prophet of God, doesn't even come out. Sends a message and says, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went ahead and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. In other words, lay hands on him. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Why have I got to go to the Jordan? We've got good rivers right here. May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad. And I know what it means to see a man mad when you tell him exactly what he needs to do from God. I've had that happen more than once. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he says to thee, wash and be clean? If he had asked you to take a trip around the world, you'd be on your way. If he had asked you to come up with a great sum of money, you'd be trying to get it. If he had said to you, we're going to call all the people together and have a great ceremony and I'm going to heal you, you would have been pleased. But he asked you to do some little simple thing, and you're fussing about it and getting mad at it. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want you to concentrate on that statement in 2 Kings 5:11. Behold, I thought. And look especially at the pronoun I. Naaman was trying to decide what he should do from what he thought he should do. It'd be just like you and me going to a doctor with an ailment and saying, now doctor, you listen to me, let me tell you what's wrong with me, and let me tell you what you need to do to cure me. Naaman said, behold, I thought. This is what I expected. This is what I thought. And that's where we get into trouble, religiously speaking, when we start doing our own thinking instead of doing our thinking in light of what God's word has to say. Think about Naaman for a moment, what he had tried. Although it's not mentioned in the text, I think you would agree with me that he probably had tried the very best of physicians that were available in Syria. He was high up in the court of the king. He had favor with the king. And you just know, it just stands to reason that there would have been nothing spared to go to the very best physicians that were in that area to try to cure his leprosy or get it under control. And no good had been done. There is also an indication that at least the king of Syria, and perhaps Naaman with him, thought that we'll go where there is political punch and political power, and we'll get this leprosy cleansed. Notice when mention was made to him about sending to Israel, the king sent a letter to the king. That's the political positions in both of these places. The king of Syria was a powerful person, and the one that he would normally communicate with if he wanted something was a king of another nation. So he sends a letter to the king and says, I'm sending Naaman, one of my trusted employers. I want you to take care of his leprosy. Well, the king of Israel realized that he couldn't do anything about it. No matter how much political clout he had, he couldn't cure leprosy. No matter how powerful the king of Syria was, he couldn't cure leprosy. And so that didn't work. There's also an indication that there is the thinking on the part of the king, and perhaps also on the part of Naaman, that they could buy a cure. When he sent the letter, notice he sent some silver and some gold and some changes of raiment along with it. He sent something of the earthly possessions to try to persuade the king to do what he thought he might be able to do. But there was no money. There was not enough money in the world at that time, or even today, to cure leprosy as they were wanting it cured. Also, Naaman thought that there would be some kind of a great ceremony. If the man of God was going to heal him at all, he'd come out and he'd perform some great ceremony and heal him. You've seen enough of the programs on television to know the approach that's taken by many to that. And even in 1 Samuel 15, when Saul was coming back from having failed to carry out God's instructions to utterly destroy the Amalekites, he said, well, we brought back these best of the oxen and the cattle to make a big offering to God, a great big sacrifice to God. And Samuel said there in 15:22, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. But I think people today, when they're thinking about sin, thinking about religion, think if we can have some big ceremony, some big performance to take place, that that'll take care of it. It did not cure his leprosy. There's also an indication in verse 12 that he was trying self-analysis. When he said, I thought that this is what would happen, and this is what I want to do, and then as he began to reason about the Jordan versus the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, he was trying to use his own logic, his own approach, to determine what was right and what was wrong. And that can be a problem for us today. There are some people who go to the Bible with the attitude that I'm going to try to determine what I believe is right and what I believe is wrong, and I'm going to accept that which is right. That's putting self on the throne instead of God on the throne. You see, I either accept this as God's word or I don't accept it. I don't have the right to go through and say, well, I like this, I'll do that, I don't like this, that doesn't make any sense, so I won't do it. Remember the gist of our series of lessons, senseless but profound? I think that was the big thing with Naaman. It didn't make any sense to him. And so he decided that he wouldn't do it. Finally, two things happened that brought about his cure. Number one, he finally accepted the fact of what he'd been told to do. Whether he really wanted to or not may be questionable. But at least he accepted it enough that he went to the Jordan River. And he accepted it enough that he dipped 7 times, even though it didn't make any sense to him. He couldn't explain it. He didn't know why. But he finally accepted it, and he finally obeyed it. And when he did, he was made clean. It seems to me that the basic factors involved in the final results here are these: humility. It's not easy to back up and say, I'll do whatever you require me to do even though I don't understand it. And that's exactly what Naaman had to do. I think number two, he finally accepted what could not be done and realized that he could not find the cure with the physicians, he could not find the cure with the king, he could not find the cure with the money, and he certainly couldn't cure himself. So perhaps after going through all of those and eliminating all of those, even if his attitude was, at least I'll try it, he came to realize that he couldn't take care of the things himself. The third thing is, he finally listened to the instructions. You see, even if you're buying an article or an appliance or something like that, you get instructions with it. The best way to operate that item is to go to those instructions. Usually what we do is operate it the way we want to, and then when everything else fails, we go to the instructions. And sometimes by that time, we've lost some of the parts, and we can't even get them together. But you see, here's the point, don't miss it. Anybody who produces something has the right to give the instructions as to how to use that. If it's a computer, or if it's a refrigerator, or it's a camera, whatever it is, whoever produces that product has the right, and the responsibility, by the way, to give the instructions as to how that is to be used, since God made us. And since he made our spiritual bodies, doesn't it make sense that he has the right to give us the instructions as to how the body is to be used and to how we are to care for the soul? Listening to the instructions, even sometimes though we don't think they're very wise, can help us to do what is right. And then it is important to do exactly what those instructions say. You ever been involved in putting something together? If you've had children, back years ago, that was what you had to do 2 or 3 days before Christmas. Put everything together. And that's when you wound up with pieces and bolts and nuts left over, right? You have to do exactly what is stated. You get those instructions and it says step one. And I'm guilty sometimes of sort of glancing down at step two before I do step one. Well, maybe I can eliminate that and I can hurry this up and get it. It doesn't work that way. You've got to do it exactly according to the instructions that are given. Naaman had to obey the instructions exactly as they were given. Now let me summarize what we have said concerning Naaman. He had a serious illness. He first went to the wrong source. He found the right source. The message that was given to him was simple, but he didn't want to accept it. As he began to accept part of it, he decided that he wanted to alter it. If I have to dip, then why not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar? But finally, when he obeyed and did exactly what he was told, his leprosy was cured. Now that story doesn't mean a lot to us from the literal standpoint of it, because I don't think there's anybody here tonight that has leprosy. It is unlikely that any of us would have leprosy. Probably unlikely we'd ever even be confronted with somebody who has it. But God doesn't put something in the Bible to fill up space. He puts it there for a reason. And Romans 15:4 says the things written aforetime were written for our learning. 1 Corinthians 10:6-11 say for our examples and our examples. Now let's go back and look at it from the standpoint of baptism in our time. We have a serious disease, sin. We have a tendency to go to the wrong source. How many people do you suppose today have listened to what some man told them to do without going to the Word of God and understanding what God has said to do? My preacher told me that I'm to do this, and I've had many, many people say, personally to me, my preacher told me I did not have to be baptized. Well, his preacher is not going to be sitting on the throne in the day of judgment. And people will tell you anything, even sometimes sincerely, tell you that which is not right. Oh, you pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. I wonder why Peter didn't say that on Pentecost. I wonder why Philip didn't say that to the Ethiopian eunuch, especially since they were out away from everybody. I wonder why Paul didn't say it to those that he converted. Not one word in the Bible about saying the sinner's prayer. Sinner's prayer is not in your Bible unless it's on the back cover somewhere or the pages after the Bible is over. It's not in there. Well, all you've got to do is go to a mourner's bench and pray through and you'll be saved. You'll find that instruction on the same page with the sinner's prayer. It's not there. Well, this is what you need to do. This is what the church where we're going expects. I worked in an area one time where the preachers were on the radio constantly saying you don't have to be baptized, but they taught everybody that came that they had to be baptized to get into that certain church. This is the way they say you're supposed to do it. Going to the wrong source. The message for salvation is very simple. We sometimes call it five steps. Some don't like that, but that's exactly what it is. You've got to hear the word, believe the word, repent, confess, and be baptized. Confession is a statement of one's faith, and hearing is what produces the faith. So basically, you've got three things. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Now, that's about as simple as you can get. That's as simple as go dip in the Jordan River seven times. Nobody could misunderstand those instructions. Naaman didn't misunderstand the instructions. He knew exactly what was said. Very simple. Repent, believe, repent, be baptized. But sometimes people don't want to accept that, and sometimes they'll even get mad. More than one person has said to me, I'll tell you, nobody's going to tell me I have to be baptized. God did. Well, nobody's going to make me be baptized. No, you're right, nobody's going to make you. Even if I took someone and forced them underwater, that wouldn't be baptism against their will. Nobody's going to make you, that's true. Well, I don't see any sense in it. Now be sure if you quote me, you quote me fully what I'm about to say. From a human standpoint, I don't see any sense whatsoever in baptism. Leave God out of it for a moment. Here's a person who is guilty of outrageous sins. We ask him if he believes in Christ, and he says yes. We take him back here, we bury him underwater and bring him up, and we say he's as clean as a baby. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me from a medical standpoint, from a physical standpoint, from a human standpoint. Until you put God in it. Just like Naaman said, it doesn't make any sense to me to go dip in the Jordan River seven times. And it didn't. And I don't suspect there was any in his company that it made sense to. Go dip in the Jordan River seven times? What do you mean? How silly can you be? But when he dipped the seventh time, he was made clean. When he did what God told him to do, he was made clean. There's not a bit of power in the Jordan River to cure leprosy. Not a bit. Jordan River is a muddy river. There's not anything about the instructions that makes sense from the human standpoint, but you see, it wasn't the Jordan River that cured the leprosy. It was God who cured the leprosy when Naaman did what God told him to do, even though it didn't make any sense to him from a human standpoint. There is not any power in the water to cure sin. There's not anything in any pool of water anywhere to cure sin. Power's in the blood of Jesus Christ. The power is with God. And when one is baptized, it is God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, who's cleansing that person of his sins, and he is raised as clean as a child, spiritually speaking. Now, folks, let me reason with you for a moment. There's not a religious person in Jackson, Tennessee tonight who cannot understand 2 Kings 5. I believe I'm true in making the statement. There is not a religious person, an accountable religious person in Jackson, Tennessee, who cannot understand exactly what happened in 2 Kings 5. Why then can people not understand the exact same principle, and we've carried the parallel all the way through, when we come to the New Testament and God requires us to be baptized for the remission of sins? What would have happened if Naaman had not gone to the right source? What would have happened if Naaman had not listened? What would have happened if he had tried an alternative and had decided to dip in Abana or Pharpar instead of the Jordan? What would have happened if, when he got to the Jordan River, he had decided that they'd reach down with some kind of a vessel and get some water and pour it on him? What would have happened if, after he came up the sixth time, he had said, "I think that's enough," and had quit? You know what would have happened. He would have still had his leprosy. What happens when a person today doesn't go to the right source and listens to what somebody tells him or what he's read somewhere else? What happens if he says, and I've had this said, "I know the Bible says be baptized, but I don't believe I have to"? What if he won't listen? What's his situation? What if he tries an alternative and says, "Okay, baptism's all right, pour some water on me or sprinkle me, or I was sprinkled as a baby, so I've been baptized and I'm all right"? What would happen if he just went part of the way and said, "I believe and I repent, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to be baptized"? "Well, I may be baptized to get into some organization, some specific church, but I'm not going to be baptized for the remission of sins because it doesn't make any sense and I don't believe I have to." What would have happened if Naaman hadn't done it? What will happen if we don't do it? I started out tonight by saying, I say it again, I believe the Bible teaches, I am 100% convinced that it teaches, in order to cure the spiritual leprosy of the soul, we must be willing to go all the way and do exactly what God has said for the purpose that he has said. If you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, to put you into Christ and into the New Testament church as a penitent believer, that's necessary too. If you haven't done that, my friend, I believe with all my heart you still have the leprosy of sin. The only way to get the cure is to do what God said. Whether or not it makes any sense, just do what he said. you need to do that. Come as together we stand and sing.
What will you do?